The one thing that's interesting to me is it sounds like all three of you seem to be pretty happy with the quality of the workforce and the employment base.
Yeah.
And it didn't sound like you're necessarily as dissatisfied with public schools, public education as, you know, we often get the sense the business community is. You think that's fair to say?
Well,
and,
stated
a little more articulately, you know, we often hear a lot of concerns and complaints about the quality of high school education, community college, state college education, that we're not getting the kind of workforce that we need.
Not to jump on it first, but I think you're asking, it's two different issues.
Mm-hmm.
We are largely pulling from a college base or post-high school base. So they've had high school and then at least 2 years of college, in our case, four, and then postgraduate as well many times. So we are delighted with this, obviously, atmosphere of so many colleges and universities. That does not address the larger issue that we have here in Massachusetts and New England and probably throughout the country, which is the lack of proficiency, particularly in the maths and sciences, that we all think we're going to need for the future. So I think they're two different issues. One is we have an immediate workforce. We have a longer-term concern, particularly in the areas of math and science.
That's absolutely true. And I think what we find ourselves doing is getting involved in a very large way. I know we are, in many of the companies here, in trying to advance the standards for public education. I mean, one advantage in Massachusetts, whether you're on the right or the left side, is we do have standards. And we have put a stake in the ground as far as graduation with some of those standards. But we know, based upon the transformation of our businesses, that's not good enough. And so the bar keeps getting raised. So what we've found, Verizon, what we've had to do is work closely with the two-year colleges on programs that either supplement what wasn't acquired in high school and then ready the workers of tomorrow for the technology advances of today and tomorrow. And, you know, one area that we are very, very concerned about is support of higher education, public higher education in the state, and have worked closely on many of the committees in government to explain why that's critical. We have 14,000 employees. They cannot all afford to go to private schools. They are products of public education. And so, it varies per city and town as to the quality. It's an area where we're all very engaged in, but I would not say we're satisfied with where we are today, because it keeps moving.
So kind of echo the same thing. We want to have a group of associates that can take our company to the next level too. So through higher education, through recruitment of the correct people, I think that's something. And then also programs where we can train and develop our associates also internally. To ensure if they have that educational background from prior joining our company. If not, we can develop it from within as well. So I think that's been a second fold effort from us to make sure that we have the quality educated individuals that we need to drive our business.
Are there other states you think Massachusetts could learn from, either in the quality of the job it does with public education or the support that it gives to businesses, maybe through tax incentives or credits for that kind of worker training?
Sure there are. I don't know that I could speak to any of them right now, though.
Virginia, example. Virginia, yeah. Most recently, first of all, they have one of the best public educational, both, lower ed and higher educational systems. We work very closely with them in Virginia. And they are a state, I don't know if it's their proximity to Washington, D.C., but constantly relooking at themselves as far as what their tax policies are.
Right.
Just this past year, they did a whole streamlining of technology taxes, because they found that the definitions that were once applicable just aren't any longer. And so all different companies were being taxed in all different ways. It was very confusing, and it really gave no investment incentive. Most recently, they just passed another law that encourages companies like Verizon to invest in the fiber optic cable and bring a new cable alternative to the state of Virginia. And it's diametrically opposed to the way we do things in Massachusetts, which is so very focused on each city and town and authority in each city and town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the only thing I would add to that, and I agree with what both Tim and Donna said, there are sort of funny issues in Massachusetts. Permitting can be more difficult. From a tax basis, the income tax is actually quite favorable relative to other states. But the tax incentives for businesses are, to use a state closer to home, so to speak, would be Rhode Island, where I think there's a real effort to create tax incentives to bring greater employment there. But, I mean, from a income tax perspective, relative to some other states we operate in, this is
I mean that the five and a 5 point the rate is better.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, the overall rate is better, and I think both Bank of America and Verizon were in similar situations in that we placed some new centers in or grew some existing centers in Rhode Island because of the incentives, job training incentives, other types of if you purchase certain software, sales tax incentives. It really was very competitive. If you're sitting in the shoes of the folks in Rhode Island trying to create economic development, they always look to Massachusetts as to what did they do or not do well to try to learn from Massachusetts. Right. But they think they're getting an edge, albeit small, but getting an edge.
I'd be curious here from the banking perspective what you like about the Rhode Island laws or what you think is working best.
Well, it isn't Massachusetts versus Rhode Island. It's just a matter that Rhode Island has been very aggressive in attempting to attract and being successful attracting business to Rhode Island. The Governor's Office of Economic Development, the relationship amongst elected officials seems very collaborative. And we were able to open a call center and put 900 people in the call center in East Providence in very quick order. Now, I might add that at least 20% of those associates come from Massachusetts. So, and that, again, speaks to why this area is attractive. The truth is that you can have an employee base, associates that work for you, that come from more than one state. So you're operating in Massachusetts, you may be pulling from Maine, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Connecticut, and vice versa for the other states. So relative to other states, the commute is shorter. I know many of us complain, but the truth is the commute is shorter. Our public transportation tends to be better.
Tim, can you maybe talk a little from the retailing perspective about laws or regulations in other states that you like?
Well, I think there's, I don't know that there's any better or they're just different. What we've got in Massachusetts that makes it a little more unique for us, it's only shared by a few states, is line item pricing, where we actually price specific merchandise. I think it definitely benefits the customers and the consumers to come in. They are educated to what the products cost. So not all states
this is have meaning the sticker on every individual thing.
Correct. From a retailer's perspective, that's been a challenge. We work very hard to make sure we're in compliance with that, but that is something unique to Mass and only a few other states.
It's something do you think the state's well served by keeping it?
I think it presents challenges, again, from the retail perspective, but we work very diligently. We actually have a staff of people that make sure that we have our items priced and up to spec with us. We've done other things to better serve our customers, too, in relationship to this. We've got a price scanner that actually will tell you the price of our items. Other retailers have those as well. So those are out there. And I think ultimately it benefits our customers, our consumers. They can come in. They're very knowledgeable as far as how much they're spending for products prior to getting to the front and checking out with those products. So, but I think that's probably one of the most unique to this area.
Right. Other things that come to mind in terms of, other policies, laws, regulations, tax code things in other states where you operate that you'd encourage people in Massachusetts to take a look at?
Well, I would say it's, I don't know about you, but it isn't so much about laws and regulations. Massachusetts is a different state than many others, in so much as press and politics are in the drinking water. It's in terms of both the politicians and the general populace, I'd say it's much more of an activist state. And therefore, the level of engagement for business and the community is probably greater than in many other parts of the country, which I think is a good thing, but it certainly is different than other parts of the country. I don't know if the two of you find that too.
I think that's very true, and I think it also gets back to, you know, the way our government was formed and the way it is today.
Right.
And at times we feel that the way it was formed was potentially good before, but now it doesn't make sense today. I mean, we're global businesses and we operate in this state, and so there are policies and procedures and changes and discussions we'd like to have that we find we have to have at a very low level. And when you're trying to transform a company, technology changes at such a fast pace, you know, you find you're getting down into the groundswell of the way we're governed. Again, very municipal oriented, which is somewhat difficult to do. And I think it manifests itself in some of the changes that we're trying to make in permitting, site selection in the state with economic development. There is no global policy that someone can come in and easily find a place, you know, select a site and then ramp up. Mm-hmm. And that is very different in many, many other states. And the Carolinas certainly, you know, it's very easy. Verizon Wireless, for example, opened a new center there, moved people from New Jersey because it was a very streamlined approach, a very cost-effective approach to select a site. Mm-hmm. And so we keep trying to maintain that balance of, you know, local rule here in many different aspects, and then what's best for the state economy, and then take it from there for the regional economy.
Right. Do you think, maybe going to Tim, as a rule of thumb, do you think there are numbers you can put around, you know, it usually takes us X number of months to pick a location and get a Home Depot store built in Massachusetts compared to Y number of months in normal states?
I think that number varies a little bit. But, you know, again, we talked about permitting. We talked about, you know, time from decision-making to opening the doors of a store. I think it does probably run a little higher here than other areas typically, and I don't know the exact number. Mm-hmm. But, you know, speed to the opening door is probably one of the things we try to focus on. Once we make our determination, here's where we'll put another location, how quickly can we get that building open? And I will say it does take a little bit longer. But I think even within the state, too, we've got some variances, from Eastern Mass to Western Mass, too. Right. And each of the towns and communities, you know, vary slightly, too. So I think that's another factor that, you know, we take into account, too. And that is something that we look at as we're deciding where we want to put our businesses within the communities as well.
Mm-hmm. It has a huge impact, I think, on investment of corporations. When I look at our unique experience in Massachusetts and Texas, for example, to get into a new market, the video business, it takes approximately 14 days from time of application. If you have all of your criteria in place, you're financially sound, you can open, and as long as you have the infrastructure, get into a new market. In Massachusetts, again, because of policies that were created long ago, it takes anywhere from 9 to 15 months to get into a new market, even if you have the infrastructure. And the reason
and that's doing exactly the same thing.
It's doing exactly the same thing. Hmm. It's just offering over a medium of fiber optic cable and other service. And it's antiquated policy. Mm-hmm. And the impact that will have on Massachusetts is that a company like ours would have to decide for its future. Do we put another $400 million this year in Massachusetts, or do we put it in Texas where it takes 14 days, or Virginia where it takes 30 days, and so on and so forth? You really have to start evaluating that, even though you have a great market. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's interesting to hear how different businesses are kind of weighing time frames and how you have to deal with local government. Local government is a good thing. I don't want to disparage it. It's just that some of the policies that were once created don't seem to fit anymore.
Is there any analog to that in the world of banking?
Not really. I mean, to be fair, our issue in our case, our banking centers already existed, and the basis for business is to generate more sales per customer. It's extremely attractive customer base.
Right.
We have other issues, but not this.
Well, what would you say are your top issues with state and local policymakers these days?
Well, I think the larger issues tend to be not with the policymakers. It's just some pre-existing conditions we're all dealing with. Mm-hmm. The cost of housing, it is more expensive to live here than other parts of the country, not just for the cost of housing, but fuel, et cetera. So it takes a bit more to deal with affordable housing. I don't think we've figured that out. I certainly do believe that elected officials, business, and policymakers are working together to attempt to address it. We've all certainly put in a fair amount of sweat equity and money into trying to come up with some solutions. We're very focused because of the business we're in community development. We'll put in $8.5 billion of investment in the next 3 years in Massachusetts alone. But just the same, it's an issue, and it's an issue that we have on a state level and on a municipal level. So if we have an issue that we're concerned about, that's probably one of the larger issues we have.
Amir, do you find when you're trying to recruit folks from other parts of the country, because we experience this, that have lived in the Floridas, the Texases, and other areas, to try to bring them into Massachusetts is a huge issue?
Oh, yeah.
Because their dollars, again, have to go towards certainly housing, energy, a bigger bite out of their paychecks for their families, and the cost of education.
Yeah.
So it is a challenge for us, and I can imagine it is for
you
too.
It is a challenge. I mean, I think this is what you're dealing with in terms of global companies. Moving people to Massachusetts is certainly more expensive than living in other parts of the country. Now, I would say the flip side of that is they're coming to an area that has such attractiveness in terms of culture, the arts, education, quality of life, in terms of just the physical beauty, the ability to move throughout the New England area. That really does attract our associates. But it costs more to live here than in many other parts of the country, except, of course, the West Coast.
Right. And that's broad brush. I mean, but I think, like you said, we definitely have to take advantage of the area that's around us. That's definitely a big feature in attracting new associates to this area from others. And we definitely move, you know, like both of yourselves, move people coast to coast if we need to fill our needs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Do any of you have a sense of is there some solution to the housing crisis around here that, you know, is staring us in the face that we haven't figured out a way to pursue? Or
I mean, I like some of the incentives, and I realize they're opt-in with some of the legislation that's before the government folks up at the State House. I mean, I like the idea of giving cities and towns some options to care for affordable housing and to create more gross smart urban centers versus the sprawl issues. Mm-hmm. Because while we have a great transportation system in and out of, you know, the major urban center, Boston, we still have issues in some of the outlying areas like the 495 belt and others, where as more folks have gone to live, it's harder to commute back and forth. I mean, the roads are jammed, and I mean, so there's some other issues there as well.